And some, like I shared before, and I always want to make this an emphasis, some of you aren't moms, you're aunts, and or aunts, if you will, however you are raised, and you have special encouragement of motherly gifts for your nieces and nephews too. And I think everyone can think of women that have had godly influence without really having their own children, and yet when it came to recognizing what moms do, they were a part of that. And I want to encourage all of you ladies, you have a special call and a special gift of being able to speak into the lives of young people and children and adults. And I just want to encourage you and just bless you today with that. All of you who are here, all the ladies, would you stand, please? And we just want to give you special recognition. And here's what we were going to do. We were going to have you come forward and get a gift on behalf of the church just to say thank you for all that you do as moms, grandmothers, aunts, and women in our church. However, because of the COVID-19 distribution issues, which we've run into multiple times, we did not get your gifts yet. So here's the good news, that it might be here tomorrow. Tomorrow's not going to help us today. But you will have a gift waiting for you in your mailbox, or if you don't have a mailbox, we'll make sure we get one to you somehow, some way. And you can swing by and pick that up during the week or wait till next Sunday to get your gift. But would you stand with me so we can at least pray over you and honor you? Could you do that, ladies? We want to recognize you for all that you do and just blessing others with your passion and compassion. Let's pray, shall we? Let's pray over our women. Lord God, we're so thankful for the ladies who are represented here, for those that were earlier in the service we prayed for, but we pray once again. For those who are online and not able to be here in person, we pray for them as well. And just pray a special blessing upon each and every one. The love that they share, the nurturing, and the ability to just see things in a way that is a blessing to young people, especially to children, but all of us. We're thankful for all that they do for your kingdom and for their families. And I just pray a special honoring blessing to be upon each and every one. And we give you thanks in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. God bless you, ladies. Thank you so much for all that you do. Just another announcement I want to do, and we're going to have somebody stand up. And actually, we could have them come forward, at least for special recognition. And that is someone that I was going to mention 2 weeks ago, but we were just doing online services still, and I just kind of forgot. Then last week came, and they were here in person, and I forgot again. And so I'm really, really sorry about doing that. But Justin and Stephanie Henderson, could you guys at least stand up? And if you're courageous enough, could you come on up here? I want you to welcome our newest members of the church. We went through a wonderful Zoom interview process, and then the board met, and they were presented to the board as members, and we are so thankful that you were approved and looking forward to what you can do for your church and for this community. So bless you for that. Let's pray over our new members, shall we? And just thank the Lord for them. Lord God, we're thankful for Justin and Stephanie and all that they have already been involved with in just loving people and encouragement. And Lord, I just pray that your blessing continues to be upon this house as they walk forward in faith with you and as they lead and guide as members of our body. We just thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Bless you guys. I'd give you a hug, but we're not supposed to do that now, so we'll save it for later. And I know there's others I'm working on for membership. We're going to get there and go forward with all that good stuff, right? Awesome. Turn with me. Oh, wait. Announcements. I have a couple things. Little Caesar's Pizza, it's your last day to be able to do Little Caesar's Pizzas. Lou has been involved with that, and it sounds like they're about halfway to their goal, maybe a little bit more. And so the goal is 150 sales. If you have not had an opportunity to buy Little Caesar's Pizzas as a fundraiser for the youth ministries, you need to do that today. And so see Lou, see Pastor Jason, go online. It's there with Facebook. You can find your way there as well. And so make sure that you check that out. Other announcements, I guess the one thing I want to highlight is new church email for the office. We have an old email that it just doesn't roll off the tongue. What's the email address? Well, it's kind of hard to define. It's all jumbled letters. And so here's the new one that's going to eliminate a lot of junk mail, too, by the way. And anyway, go right to office@glendiveag.org. So that's how you can get the email to the church office in a more concise way. So there you go. That sound good? All right. I think there was something else I was going to do. What was it? Oh my goodness, what is that?
Well, this is camping stuff.
Wait.
Oh boy, here comes the other one.
You didn't ruin anything back there, did you?
Wow.
We got that fixed.
Oh good.
Are you eating a candy bar?
Yeah.
Well, that's not fair.
After hauling all of her stuff, I need the energy.
Okay.
Well, so that's ready for camp.
That's a lot of stuff.
We got Ranger Mountain is gonna come. This okay. is all her stuff, by the
and
way.
Girls Adventure Mountain.
That's all her stuff.
Ranger Mountain and Girls Mountain.
What else
Adventure.
Is there? Oh, okay. Look at my, I got a skunk tail.
That's not a skunk tail.
Yeah, it is. No, okay. Want to smell it?
That's your armpit. Oh man.
That smells like a skunk too, but yeah. That's okay. I'm Ooh. Camping, so I don't need a bath. Okay.
You forgot some of my bags.
No, well, here's the Bible bag, and it's got extra snacks for when the preacher goes.
That's not my Bible
bag.
That
comes in handy.
No, I didn't bring your Bible bag.
But you're missing three of them.
You're missing bags?
No, I'm not missing them.
Yes.
No.
You did not bring them.
That's right. Her pen bag, her Bible bag, her devotional bag, and her highlighter bag. I kid you not, this lady has bags.
Does she have a shoe bag, too?
No.
She's got her hiking shoes on. This is my bag for camping.
You got one bag.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. Watch.
Way to go.
Watch what I got. I packed good. I got my hiking shoes on. I got hooked up my mouth. It's really good. Okay.
Oh.
Mints. No need to brush the teeth. Just get some fresh breath.
Well, that makes sense.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Because Absolutely. The beautiful thing about camping is after 2 days, mm-hmm. Your teeth have fur on them anyway, so they're nice and warm.
Okay.
You just need fresh breath.
That sounds right. Very, very logical.
Yep. And I got energy.
Yeah.
Yeah. These are old, but they're still good. I packed an extra pair of socks.
Okay.
We're leaving on the 17th of June, if we haven't found this out yet. And we're coming back on the 21st. We're going to combine boys and girls. Girls are going to be at a different campsite. I only need one pair of socks.
Okay.
I
got one T-shirt. There's my clothes for the weekend, for the week.
But I steal your clothes.
Well, you're not going to steal much, lady.
But I am prepared for the rain this time.
It rains and snows every year.
You didn't tell me snow. I just heard about the rain.
Yeah, it snows. Okay. Now you know. Oh, and I did get healthy stuff, too. See?
There you go.
Got protein for the trip.
Are they salted?
No, they're dry roasted.
Okay.
They're dry roasted. So, coming to camp, we're going to leave early on Wednesday morning the 17th. Pastor wants us to leave at 4, which I think is a great idea.
That's a really good idea.
Probably more about 7.
Okay.
We're going to get there early. We'll set up camp. We'll have MREs for lunch. Everybody loves MREs, right?
The new ones are good? Okay.
It's either that or Spam, their choice. Anyway.
I thought Spam was MRE.
Oh, yeah, I got lots of Spam there. I got pictures of our food that's still there.
Okay.
So, what else are we going to do? Look at their face. Okay. So, we're going to leave early. We're going to get there, set up camp, and then we're going to come Saturday. We should be home about 5, 6 o'clock. So, you know, you can do the Father's Day thing on the next day, okay?
Cool.
What else? It's $70. That will cover the actual camp costs plus food and gas for everybody to go up there. I don't think I mentioned that the last time.
All right.
But if you have an issue with that, talk to me. We'll make it work. We'll get it taken care of because I want you guys to come to camp.
And it's a lot of fun. If I can rough it, you can rough it.
She doesn't rough it. No.
Sounds good.
So talk to me. Come to camp. It's fun. Everybody's welcome. Lloyd, you should take time off of work and bring him up. That'll be fun. Anything else? You got to take your stuff. I'm not hauling it back to the...
I think she's leaving.
Oh, yeah, the outhouses.
How many think if she was wearing big glasses with suspenders, she'd be a little minion?
Yeah. A minion. I called her an Oompa Loompa.
Yeah. I still think you look like a minion, kind of. Sort of. I hope you're the good minion.
No. She's Kevin.
Hey. Oh, I resemble that.
Okay. Talk to you later.
Thank you, guys. All right. Wow. Well, there you go. That's the other thing I was remembering. So hopefully you got all that announcement. And hopefully everything goes through without a hitch. In case you're wondering, the family camp that we normally do at Glacier, which some of you have been a part of, has been canceled. So there will not be a Glacier family camp. They're hoping to keep the kids' camps, the kids and the teen and the senior high, the junior high. They're hoping to keep those ones going. So that's all being worked out, trying to get through this crisis of the pandemic. Amen? So turn with me to Exodus chapter 2. And we're going to read about one of the moms in the Bible that are a mom that we can look at some of the characteristics of the expressions of faith. You know, there's a lot of moms in the Bible that we could use as examples. One that just kind of comes to mind for me, and I jotted down just a couple notes, is Timothy's grandmother Lois and his mother Eunice were mentioned when the Apostle Paul was speaking to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 1, and just basically saying that his faith was a product of their faith and their support. And I think that that's the case in many lives throughout the history of time, that there are certain women in our lives that have been powerful influences for faith. And I want to encourage you, all the ladies for sure, but all of us can still receive this encouragement to be godly influences to our families. And the one that we're going to look at is one who not only influenced her children towards faith, but the faith of those children literally changed the world. We're going to investigate the life and the faith of Jochebed. And that is the mother of Miriam, Aaron, and Moses. So Exodus chapter 2, just a little of the story that's happening here. It says, a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son, and when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. We'll get more into the reason why she had to hide the child in just a little bit. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river, while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman, and she took it. When she opened it, she saw the child, and behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, "This is one of the Hebrew children." Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Go." So the girl went and called the child's mother. The Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child away and nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed him. When the child grew old, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. She named him Moses because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." Let's pray. Lord God, we're thankful for examples of godly women who have influenced their children and their families. Certainly, it's a partnership. Husbands and wives work together. And certainly that is the most powerful influence within a family, is that team partnership, side by side, faith by faith. But Lord, there are so many times where it's a godly a woman that has truly been the foundation, even the rock of faith of a family. And we recognize that. We know that it's true. And so we pray a special blessing on every mother, every woman of godly influence who has been able to encourage children through different avenues as teachers, as encouragements, as helpers. And I just pray, Lord God, as we look to your word, we will find that encouragement to rest easy in our spirits, to know that we can be men and women of faith. Just pray, Lord God, your blessing on this time as we honor and as we go forward with you. In Jesus' name, amen. So here we have a situation where a mother of a child recognizes, oh, he's beautiful. He's a precious child. He's a beautiful boy. Well, what parent hasn't had that expression when you have a child? And I've heard it said that infants can be homely when they're first born. Anybody else ever hear that before? And that may be true, but I'm a little biased, and I have to admit, when our children were born, they were the most beautiful children on the face of the earth. They were just absolutely gorgeously beautiful and handsome or whatever, and I think that is just the way we look at our own children as parents. Somebody else might have looked at our son and said, ooh, I don't think so, but they may have. Maybe I was biased. But here's the weird thing. Here's a child that's being born and is born, and while it's recognized as being handsome or beautiful or whatever your text says, the reality is it's supposed to be killed. This child is supposed to be given up because of the edict from the Pharaoh, from the king. And we're going to look at the background of what's taking place, why that's the case. So turn with me to chapter 1 of Exodus. Jochebed actually puts her own life in jeopardy to save her son. Verse 8 of chapter 1. There arose a new king over Egypt who did not know Joseph. As you know the story of Joseph, Joseph was a godly man. He saved his people. He was a slave that was raised to the elevation of being second in command over all of Egypt. Incredible story. And he, of course, brought his own family, and they multiplied, and of course the people kept growing in numbers. But eventually Joseph is gone. The king that knew Joseph is gone, and now a king rises up that didn't have any respect or knowledge of Joseph. And that's the problem. Verse 9, he said to his people, behold, the people of Israel are too many and too mighty for us. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, lest they multiply, and if war breaks out, they join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land. In other words, these are our assets. These are the people that have helped us greatly, but they're going to realize how tough they are, how strong they are. We need to somehow stifle this. We need to keep them from rising up against us and overcoming us. Therefore, they set taskmasters over them, verse 11, to afflict them with heavy burdens. They built for Pharaoh store cities, Pithom and Ramses. So we have this new king. He wants to stifle their growth. He wants to minimize them, and they become slaves. But that's not enough. If you skip down to verse 15, it says, then the king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was Shiphrah and the other Puah, and I like to say Poo. Winnie the Pooh. I won't go there. But anyway, Puah, if that's the correct pronunciation. When you serve as midwife to the Hebrew women, he says, see them on the birth stool. If it is a son, you shall kill him. If it is a daughter, she shall live. Well, that's pretty brutal. Imagine you are hired, called upon for delivery of children. It's your occupation, it's your job, it's what you do, and you're being told by the king, by the Pharaoh, if it's a male child, you must kill it. If it's a girl, she's okay. You know, there are places in the world throughout history that has tried to stifle the growth and the populations of countries in our world. And we know that it's true that it's happened in different parts of our world. But in modern day culture, we no longer would wait for a child to be born to determine if it needs to be killed. Now we simply do it in the womb. And while we have different reasons in our own country why that happens, there are places in the world where they can still call upon these types of murders of our own children for the sake of the population. It's graphic and it's horrendous to even imagine, but it's true. So this is not a new thing that has happened in the history of the world. This is something that's been going on for many, many years. Specifically, the Hebrew children are the ones that are being targeted in this particular story. The midwives, however, they feared God in verse 17, it says, and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but let the male children live. So they didn't fear the king as much as they feared God. There's no way I can take the life of a child. There's no way that I can take a life of a little newborn baby boy. Therefore, I will suffer the consequences of whatever the Pharaoh says, and I will not kill this child. The midwives, verse 18. So the king of Egypt called the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this? And let the male children live." The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them." Well, I'm pretty sure that was a lie, that they're so tough they don't even need us. They're just out there working and they have a baby, they just go back to work, you know. You've heard those kinds of stories, right? The tough rancher, the tough farmer's wife. Well, I don't think that's really ever the case, but here we have an expression of, yeah, they're so strong that they don't even need us. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very strong. Because of the midwives feared God, he gave them families. And so there was a blessing that came to them for their faithfulness to God. But that's not the end of the story. Verse 22. Because it didn't work to take the child at birth, Pharaoh comes up with another plan. He will equip his own people. He will charge his own people with the ability to kill for him. And that's what verse 22 declares. Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every son that is born to the Hebrews, you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live." So that's the edict. If you are an Egyptian and you see a Hebrew child being born that's a baby boy, if you notice your neighbor just had a baby, check it out, make sure. If it's a boy, throw it into the river. Throw it into the Nile. And of course, babies of that age, infants, they can't swim, so they would drown. Or if somehow they managed to float and live, certainly one of the wild animals that certainly would be in that river could kill them and eat them for lunch. A horrible thought. And yet that is what the edict was. We will take care of this population this way. And so we get back to our main text. You have a mother that has a child. And she sees this beautiful baby boy. Can you imagine what she would have felt when she realized, oh no, it's a boy. It must be killed. Somebody's going to find my child and kill it. And yet, she decides, no way. That's not happening. Not on my watch. And she makes the decision to save him from death. For 3 months, she hid baby Moses. He didn't have the name yet, but baby Moses was hidden away for 3 months. Imagine trying to keep an infant from being known or from being seen or, more difficult, being heard. Because babies cry. But after 3 months of life, she realized she couldn't hide him anymore. It's interesting when you look at Hebrews that reflects on that very state, that very act of faith. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 23. Look at what's being said here. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents. Now, it doesn't specifically name one or the other. They're a team, and I want to reflect and notice that as well. Moms and fathers working together. But the parents, they hid the child because they saw that the child was beautiful and they were not afraid of the king's edict. So they put their own lives in jeopardy to save a child and put him above themselves. And yet they did this without fear. Similar to how the midwives feared God and not the king, so these parents chose to, you know, basically bypass the king's edict about how the child should be treated. Going back to our text once again in Exodus chapter 2. What does the mother do? What does Jochebed do? Technically, she fulfilled the edict anyway. It says in verse 3 of chapter 2, when she could hide him no longer, she took him a basket. She prepared it so it would be leak-proof, so that it would float. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the river bank. So she put the child in the river anyway. The edict didn't say how he was supposed to be put in the water. He just was put in the water. She did it in a very safe manner. She couldn't hide him anymore. And you have to imagine, what was that like for this mom who has protected the child for 3 months from harm? So her neighbors wouldn't throw her baby into the Nile. She hid him away. And then finally, when the day came when she couldn't hide him anymore, she's like, you know what? This is what we're going to do. I believe she had to hear from God. She had to have some ability to hear the voice of the Lord through the Holy Spirit, because she puts the child in a basket in the river along the bank. And what happens? Here comes Pharaoh's daughter, along with all the women that surround her and care for her, and they hear the child in the basket, or at least they see the basket. And they wonder, what is this? And they take the child. And basically, the river that was meant to be a death trap became his salvation. Exactly according to God's great plan, the fulfillment of salvation for Moses, so that one day he could save his own people. Everything had to be exactly according to God's timetable. The faith that was expressed in saving the life of that child for the greater good that we could never have imagined had we lived in that time, to look back and see the man, Moses, who we still honor today. What's really cool about that story of how she saved the child is taken in by the princess, and the princess realizes, I can't meet the needs of a baby. I have not given birth to this child, therefore I don't have any milk for him. I need somebody to feed the baby. And the little girl shows up. Hey, would you like me to find a Hebrew woman that can nurse the baby for you? Yes, that's a great idea. Go and get someone. What does she do? She goes and gets her mom, who happens to be the mother of the baby. And the cool thing is that the wages were given for her to care for her own child. Not only did we go from escaping death, but now we're getting paid to raise your child, to bring him up healthy. It's amazing that that is what took place. That cannot happen by accident. So what is the understanding that we can get from this as parents and as moms specifically? Never lack your faith in what God can do. Never lack faith in what God can do with your children. God has a plan for each and every one, above and beyond what you could probably ever imagine. Just be faithful as He leads you by His Spirit and do what He says. Here we have a very, very difficult, challenging, terrifying experience that led into the salvation of a baby that you got to care for now until he was of age, and then now that child sets the captives free later on in his life. Amazing. By the way, Pharaoh's daughter doesn't name him until later on. And I want to go back to that text, verse 5 through verse 10. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river. They saw the child or the basket in the reeds. She opens it, sees the baby. He's a Hebrew child, verse 6 declares. Then this little girl shows up. Shall I go call you a nurse? And of course, she says, go for it. Go ahead and do that. When the baby comes back as a weaned child, it's only then that the name is given according to the scriptures. And the name Moses literally means draw out. It's a Hebrew word. It's a Hebrew name. It sounds like draw out. So it's interesting to me that a Hebrew woman got to nurse the child, happened to be the mom, and not only that, but he was given a Hebrew name, even though he was going to be raised as an Egyptian. Jochebed's character of faith is something that should be looked up to with awe. It's like, wow, courageous. I pray that we can all learn from her faith and her husband, who's not named in the story other than the very beginning. So what happens because of this mom who raised a child only up until where he was weaned? Well, we have other children. We have the little girl that we just read about. Her name is Miriam. What you probably don't know, or at least you haven't thought about too much, is that when Moses finally comes to the place that he is going to lead the children of Israel out of Egypt, we know that he is old. How many remember how old he was? 80 years old. 80-year-old man shows up with God on his side, and he tells Pharaoh, let my people go. Well, actually, he doesn't really speak a whole lot, not in the beginning, because he's too afraid, and he might have a speech impediment. We don't know for sure. But we know that Miriam is the older of the siblings. She was probably 5 years old or more. That means when Moses started his ministry, she was 85. And here is the fun part. Let's look to this a scripture that reveals one of the things that describes Miriam, who was influenced by the faith of her own mother, just like Aaron was, and Moses to a degree. Exodus chapter 15, verse 20 and verse 21. When they get out of the hands of the Egyptians and they are saved through the Red Sea and the chariots and the soldiers are drowned, this is what happens. Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took a tambourine in her hand, and all the women went out after her with tambourines and dancing. And Miriam sang to them, sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider he has thrown into the sea. That's a song that we've had around for quite a while. I will sing unto the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously. The horse and the rider thrown into the sea. She's the one that coined the song. But here's the fun part. As I'm thinking about this last week, I could not stop myself from thinking of Pastor Emma. And I told her that in the early service. Pastor Emma, with a tambourine, leading all the ladies, dancing around. Hallelujah, I will sing to the Lord. Can you just imagine that? If you know Pastor Emma, it's quite a sight. And she actually said she wants to do that. So we're going to maybe find a way to give her a chance, right? But 85-year-old woman. Now, Pastor Emma's not 85, but, you know, she's in that upper echelon of ages, right? And so here we have this visual of an 85-year-old woman that is celebrating and singing and tambourines and just praising God for what he has just done. And she is called a prophetess because she hears from God and she's a spokesman for the Lord to the people. Now, she didn't always do everything right. She made a mistake or two. The greatest mistake she made was when she criticized Moses' choice of a wife. She wasn't from their tribe. She wasn't from their people. So she came down hard on Moses because of who he married. And God did not appreciate that. And so she was punished for it. But, of course, she was healed after she got leprosy for just a little bit, just to show her who's boss, and then everything went back to fine. So, Miriam, used by God, had to have had a powerful influence from her own parents, and I believe Jochebed, who expressed her faith so well, had a big influence on her. Aaron himself, Oftentimes we see those pictures and we see the flannel graphs in Sunday school of these people, these Bible characters. Well, Aaron was older than Moses also. Moses and Aaron, their ages are actually expressed in Exodus chapter 7. Exodus chapter 7, verse 1 through verse 7. Lord said to Moses, "See, I have made you like God to Pharaoh, and your brother Aaron shall be your prophet." In other words, Aaron is going to be Moses' spokesperson. "You shall speak all that I command you, and your brother Aaron shall tell Pharaoh to let the people of Israel go out of his land. But I will harden Pharaoh's heart, and though I multiply my signs and wonders in the land of Egypt, Pharaoh will not listen to you. Then I will lay my hand on Egypt and bring my hosts, my people, the children of Israel, out of the land of Egypt by great acts of judgment. The Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I stretch out my hand against Egypt and bring out the people of Israel from among them." Moses and Aaron did so. They did just as the Lord commanded them. Now Moses was 80 years old, Aaron 83 years old when they spoke to Pharaoh. Interesting, isn't it? When we hear these stories, we don't really think of them as the ages that they were. But they were not young men. Aaron, an 83-year-old man, became the spokesman for Moses, and he was his special aide. You will probably recognize, if you remember the stories well, maybe you don't, but it was Aaron's staff that became the snake that ate the snakes of the other sorcerers of Pharaoh. And it was Aaron's staff that was raised above the water to turn it to blood. And I always pictured Moses doing those things, but it wasn't Moses. It was Aaron, a godly man led by the Lord, very similar to how Moses was led. Who are your children? What is it that they are called to be, and what are they called to do? There's no way you could ever guess. There's no way you could ever fathom the plan that God has for all. And maybe your children are grown and now you're looking at the grandchildren and you're wondering, what might they become? Well, how will God use them? Well, here's the thing. If you are faithful as a mother and a father, we can certainly mention that, but we're specifically wanting to focus today on this special day for moms. Think about how you can nurture your child as a mom to know the Lord and find his plan. There's no way that Jochebed could have known what Moses would accomplish, or Miriam, or Aaron. And yet they accomplished great things. Her example, she did all that she could to protect her child, even putting him before herself. She courageously trusted God and did this without fear. And when she could not nurture her son, it's very likely that she did pray for him continually. I would like to know, how much influence did she have through the years that Moses grew up? After he was weaned, and that could have been 3 years old, it could have been a little less, it could have been a little more. Every culture has a different weaning age. Whatever that age was for Moses when he went to live with the princess in the palace, did Jochebed still have influence? Was she the babysitter when the princess wanted to go out for a night? I don't know. Did she have an opportunity to still come in and maybe teach some of the religious aspects of their faith? Was she like a homeschool parent type figure? I honestly don't know what she did do or what she didn't do. But I do know this. Her children were followers of God. That's enough for me to recognize that she had powerful influence in the areas of faith. And so it brings the wrap-up understanding, the final thought, as we consider what she was able to do as a mom and what so many others have done, and certainly those who are living today are doing as moms. Turn with me to Proverbs chapter 22. Proverbs 22, verse 6. It says, "Train up a child in the way he should go. Even when he is old, He will not depart from it. I found this somewhat comical when I was putting this in the message as my final point. I've never taken this passage of Scripture and correlated it with Moses. But he was old. When God says, okay, now it's time to get busy. Now it's time to do something for my kingdom. It's time to let your people free. Train up a child in a way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Aaron was old. He was 83. Moses was 80. Miriam was 85 at least. And they did not depart from their faith. What does it mean to train up a child in the way he should go? Oftentimes what we think about is the simplicity of simply raising a child to know Jesus, to know faith, to walk the faith path. But I want to challenge you that it's more than that. While it certainly is a part of it, it's not all of it. The reality is, each child has a special call of God, a special plan to fulfill. Will you raise your child to not only know Jesus, but to know his plan for them? What is it the child needs to do for the kingdom of God? What is the path that they need to walk? For me and my life, there's no possible way that you could have looked at me as a baby and said, yeah, this kid's going to be a pastor someday, and then look at my brother who was born just a year and three quarters before that, almost 2 years before, and say, yeah, this is going to be a leader of the church, but he's going to stay on the farm. You couldn't have known that. You couldn't have known what each of us were going to do. But as our personalities became more evident, and as our choices in life, along with our fulfillment of following God, became evident, there was a path of going our separate ways into the place that God has called. And when I heard the call of God to go into the full-time ministry, it came later in my years, not when I was a child. It came as I was getting, you know, in my later teens, and I finally said yes. Why did I get to that point where I could say yes? Because of the faithfulness of parents that raised me to follow God's plan, not just his way. Maybe you're saying, well, my children are all grown. Yeah, mine too. But I have grandchildren. And so I pray, God, help me to be an influence in my grandchildren's lives, to not only know you, but to know your way and to follow your plan for them. What is it my grandchild will be? What direction will she go? What direction will he go? May it be your plan, Lord, and not their own. And so as mothers and grandmothers and women of influence with families, I encourage you to raise those children up in the way that they should go so that when they're old, old, they will not depart from it. You have great influence. Continue to pray and encourage the children to walk that path with the Lord. Would you stand with me as we close? Lord, I'm so thankful for the privilege it is to honor the moms today, the grandmothers, the women who have had great influence. I think about, you know, some of the ladies in my life when I was a child, not just my grandmas, not just my mom, but certainly my aunts has had influence, but some of the leading women of the church, my Sunday school teachers, how they cared for my needs and they taught me your ways and lived that life of faith in such a way that it influenced me to want to be like them as well. I just pray a special blessing on each and every woman that is here, that you'll bless them with your goodness and that you will give them passion and compassion to be able to nurture the way you've called them to and to train children and to raise them and teach them and guide them into your path. Just pray a special blessing, and we just give you thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.